Repentance almost always has to take place in the stomach of a fish. I'll explain on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life with Steve Brown, an honest and refreshing look at Bible doctrine as it applies to daily living. If you have a Bible,
get it.
And here's Steve Brown to teach you.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Jonah as we continue with our Old Testament survey, having looked at some exegetical notes and having looked at some preliminary considerations about the book of Jonah. We are now into the text. In Jonah 1, 1 through 3, we saw when you hear God telling you to do something, do it, even if you're afraid, even if you don't like it, even if you feel incompetent. And then we were looking at Jonah 1, 7 through 16, and I read that to you about the connection of sin to everybody else. We talked yesterday about why I pray for the president, not just because he's a Republican. If he were a Democrat, I pray for Bill Clinton. I pray for the president because I know that what he does is connected to what I do. I pray for my wife the same way and for my children, and they pray for me the same way. Sin isn't an individual thing. It's connected. You know why Christians don't like the pornographic stuff on the Internet? Because we think sex is nasty? Are you crazy? Because we're prudes? No. Because we know that if that infects a culture, it infects all of us. Why are we pro-life? We're not pro-life because we want to take the fun out of life from single mothers. We're pro-life because when you start not caring about life in the womb, then you start not caring about life any other place. And then it begins to affect an entire culture, and it affects all of us. It's very important to remember that sin is not an individual thing. Why do you think that God says be not unequally yoked with unbelievers? Because they're ugly and their mother dresses them funny? No, because they don't have the same worldview that you have. You got to be careful before you get into any boat, any place, any time. Make sure that there's not a Jonah on board. Then look at Jonah 2, 1 through 10. We're going to look at the repentance of Jonah. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol, and that's a Hebrew word meaning place of the dead. I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters encompassed me. Even to my soul, the deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the borings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. You ever feel like that? Oh, man, I have. You know, every time somebody is disciplined in the church, some twit says, well, they wouldn't. They would never have repented if they hadn't been caught. Well, that's kind of the way human nature is. Bad stuff's got to happen because of the bad stuff you're doing. And when bad stuff happens because of the bad stuff you're doing, then you repent. Now, if we could learn how to repent and be ashamed because we violated the glory of God before we looked at the repercussions, things would change very quickly. The prodigal didn't repent until he ran out of money. He was feeding off the stuff he was feeding to the pigs, and then it says he came to himself. He had an attack of sanity. Sometimes it takes that. I read this stuff from Job, and I know what that's like. I can identify with him. Maybe you're there now. Maybe you've chosen a wrong road, and it really hurts. Maybe you married the wrong person who doesn't share your views, and it really hurts. Maybe you're in a business that's dishonest, and it really hurts. Maybe you've run from the people of God. You made the wrong decisions, and it really hurts. The hurt is a gift from the God of the universe who would call you back to himself that mercy might come running. Please note that mercy did. I mean, you can hardly think of a worse place than being in the stomach of a fish. I saw a picture of a man who once was swallowed by a fish, and he was balder than I am, and he had a full head of hair when he went in. I guess the stomach juices took his hair away. He looked kind of withdrawn and had dark circles under his eyes. He hadn't had a whole lot to eat for a long time. And so we know this is possible, but it's happened historically. I can't think of a worse place to be, man. I think I would repent, too. Because God desires to bring us to repentance. You say, oh, that's horrible. No, it's not. It's good. Because living a life of repentance, agreeing with God, metanoia is the Greek word, agreeing with God in your mind and understanding that His way is best, is the font of all wisdom. It's the place where you understand His love. It's the place where you get hugged. It's the place where He restores us. A life of repentance ought to be the life of the Christian. One that says, I agree with you about everything. Everything you tell me to do is right, and everything comes from your hand of love. And when I choose something different, I choose it, and you weep because I hurt. And when I turn, mercy always comes running. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad you've been. Turn the way Jonah did. Maybe you're down in the stomach of a fish, and it's really bad, and it smells. Turn. Notice that verse, because it laughs and it dances with the reality of it. Yet, you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. God always does that. We make decisions, sometimes good decisions for the right reason. Buck Kuchenberg, the former Miami Dolphin, explained a number of years ago to a weekly news magazine why he went to college and eventually played ball. He said he was in a circus family, and his father and uncle worked in the circus as human cannonballs. He said they shot his uncle out of one of those cannons, and he missed. He said, that's when I decided I'm going to college. Maybe you can learn on somebody else's experience. Learn on mine. I've done it both ways, and sometimes still do. And I've learned that God's way is best. When I do it my way, I repent. Mercy always comes running. Now, I want you to look at Jonah 3, 1 through 10. We're going to look at the power of the message of God. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent, and Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, dear friends, that's not 3 points on a point. That's not a very good sermon. He would have failed my homiletics classes. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. The word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God relented from its disaster that he had said that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. It has echoes of a message that Jonah learned the hard way, too. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. What I want you to see about those verses is the power of the truth. The power of the truth. When I first became a Bible teacher, and you need to know I'm a graduate of a theological seminary this side of Whoopi left, we didn't believe much of anything about God. certainly not that the Bible was absolutely true in everything that it taught, but I came to the point in my life where I realized that I didn't have an authority, and so I made a presuppositional basic principle of my life that if everybody else lied, the Bible was true. Now, I didn't know much about the Bible, and what I heard was not very good about the Bible, but I decided it was true. And do you know what happened? I'll tell you something. Something powerful happened in the Bible, and I didn't know a lot about it. I just read a verse and told them what I thought it meant. Read another verse and told them what it meant, and I saw people reconciled and families changed and young people coming to know Christ and giving their life to Him for full-time Christian service. I saw our Sunday school double. I saw things change in my life. I began to see amazingly wonderful things. And I was reading a verse and telling them what it said. Reading a verse and telling them what it said. You know, if you're a Christian, you have an advantage over everybody else. And you don't have to be uptight about it. You don't have to be angry about it. You don't have to shout or be insecure about it. Just quietly and clearly speak the truth. The truth, when it's God's truth, has a powerful effect. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have the booklet we're offering, I'd love to send it to you. Thanksgiving's this week. That means we move into the Christmas season. And if you're the way I am, it means you don't have much time for anything. This is a booklet that will help you in your time of quiet as you go through the Christmas season. It's called Christmas Meditations. It's absolutely free. I wrote it, some old, some new, about Christmas, but it all points to Jesus. If you like the booklet, just let us know. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day. Or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Mifflin, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. We'll send it to you free as long as supplies last. And if you could help us financially, that would be so much appreciated by me and by so many others that you could touch. If you're called to be a champion for them and for Key Life, pray about it and be as generous as you can. You can make a contribution on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card and include it in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching as my thank you, Grace, the Heart of the Incarnation. Hey, I gotta go, but first, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.